Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Alexander Stablowski, and we're live from the social scene at MTP Software. Joining me is David Soper of Wicked Local Marketing. How local are you?
As local as I need to be, Alex.
How you doing?
Hyper local. I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
Awesome. Well, do you want to introduce our next guest?
Sure. We're with Beth Logan of Coslog Tax Advisors, and we're going to talk shop about taxes today.
And I think a little bit about your book.
Yes.
All right. Well, great. Tell us a little bit about your organization at first.
Well, I was actually doing some business consulting, and I had years ago started studying taxes for my own personal use because everybody has to file taxes. And then I began to realize that the businesses weren't actually doing things that were going to help their taxes but could actually harm them. So I started to incorporate the two, and now I do taxes, of course, during tax season full time. So one of the things that's very important to me in my business is to make sure that both businesses and individuals do tax planning, because you make your biggest mistakes when you're not thinking about taxes. So that's usually May through January. And then you start thinking about taxes and you realize you've missed the chance to do it the best way for you. So I became an enrolled agent, which is a federally licensed tax professional, and now I just help clients.
So what are the best ways to do your taxes? Do you want?
Well, the most important thing that I tell businesses to do is to actually meet with an enrolled agent, or you can also use a CPA, which is a state certified accountant, so it's a certified public accountant. But meet with them when it's not tax season. They have more time.
They're not riding around like crazy.
Right, and we've got a clearer head, I can promise you that, and discuss where you want your business to go, what you want your business to do, what other life goals you have, children headed to college, planning for retirement, plan to buy a house, those kinds of things. And then they can start giving you advice on how to not only organize your business so it's best tax-wise, but also organize your life and plan ahead. For instance, a lot of small businesses can, even if you do not have a retirement plan today, but if you're a sole proprietor or maybe one part-time employee, you can do what's called a SEP, which is a self-employment plan for retirement. But you have to be prepared to put money in like the January, February, March timeframe. And if you don't prepare for that ahead of time, then all of a sudden you have a $2,000 tax bill and you want to put $5,000 in your SEP and it's hard to come up with the money. So those are some of the things that you have to think about ahead of time. Even though you still may not do it until tax time, you want to plan for it.
So how do people set up a SEP?
You can literally go to a bank or credit union and stick money in a SEP CD. I think you have to sign a piece of paper that says this is your SEP. That is, it is the easiest. Ironically, it's the simplest. There is something that you have to say, this is part of your business plan. It's very simple. And it's ironic because the SEP is simpler than the simple plan, which is another business plan.
So if somebody wanted to go in and get a SEP or a simple plan, would they be better off using a financial advisor for a better investment vehicle? It sounds like maybe with a bank you might only get a CD or an instrument of low interest.
Yes, you would be better, but if you only, if it's your first year, and you only have a couple $1,000s that you're putting in, and you have to do it by the time you file your taxes, then you just run over to the bank, do it, and then as you build it up, then you might want to go find a financial advisor once you get, a little more money and can start planning ahead more. So I have a lot of clients who just do the quickie because they come to me in March, discover, ooh, I should do this. And then they don't have time to do much more. But yes, over time, you do want to set up a real investment plan so that you're making more money.
All right. And if you were, what if you're late filing a taxes? Are you still allowed to put money in, even if it's past the April deadline?
No. If you have filed your extension, there's some that you can and some that you can't. It depends on what plan you have. But essentially, if you failed to file your extension, then you've lost that opportunity.
Well, I'm saying if you've filed the extension, are you allowed to put money in for that past calendar year?
It depends on the plan. There are some plans that are yes. Off the top of my head, I think the SEP is no. But there's one of the things I always tell people about taxes is they're so complicated that you should not expect me to have everything memorized, and that I know where to find the information. And so every once in a while, I'm going to say, I'm going to get back to you on that one.
All right.
Well, I always go to people like you. I don't understand taxes at all. one of those that's just like, here's all my paperwork. You go do it. But what did you see different this tax season compared to the years before? Did you any?
This different, I'm not sure I see much different. Although this one thing I try and do with my clients is teach them something about taxes every year so that they aren't making mistakes. Because while I encourage them to call me and contact me if they have questions, they sometimes don't even realize that what they're about to do is an issue. So this year's lesson was on short-term capital gains, which many people understand that short-term is less than a year and long-term is 1 year plus 1 day, which also means that for 2016, it's 367 days because it's leap year. But with that, ooh, 1 year plus 1 day, you go to long-term, your tax rate federally is lower. But people forget that in the state of Massachusetts, long-term capital gains are taxed the same as wages, which is 5.1% this year. It's gone down 0.05% from last year. But short-term capital gains are taxed at 12%. And so when you put the difference between federal and state together, you're usually taxed at about twice the rate for short-term. So I've been encouraging my clients to talk to their financial advisors and only do short-term sales if there are losses or there's some reason why you need to get out of that stock quickly. But that I saw a fair amount of short-term trading that was not going to be tax-wise beneficial for my clients.
So you written a book, and we showed that earlier. Do you want to talk about your new book that you written, The Voter's Guide to Tax Policy?
Yeah, so this year was a great year to talk about tax policy because we had so
there were some new changes.
well, this is really looking at the presidential candidates. And there are so many presidential candidates, and they all had different plans, although some of them had overlapping ideas. But because of that, there were 17 different plans that I could discuss. They came from bipartisan ones using Simpson-Bowles, which is a bipartisan committee that came up with some suggestions, to ones that Huckabee, I think, was the most radical, and he said, just get rid of all taxes and we'll just do a sales tax at 23%. So it ran the gamut, and it gave an opportunity for me to show the ramifications of each. And for some people it's good, it lowers your taxes, for some people it's bad. But this gave me a chance to talk about it. And you're probably thinking, well, there's only five candidates left, so we can throw out half the book. But you can't. Because any congressman, and actually the tax code's written by the Congress, any congressman can propose legislation. So even, you know, Huckabee isn't in Congress anymore, but he lost. He could go to his friends, and he could say, I still think this is a good idea. Let's write the legislation and start pushing it through. And if people aren't paying attention, it could be pushed through. And that might be good for some people. It might not be good for others. So you should pay attention to these tax policies and ideas. At any point, anybody could propose them. And understanding what they really mean for each taxpayer, I think, is very important. And people should be making voting decisions based on good information. And that was my goal with the book.
Anything, David?
Is the book written in a way that it talks about this year's candidates, or is it just written in a way that talks about the different plans or different policies and the ramifications of those policies?
Well, the book is written about this year's candidates, but I do discuss the different policies, so it is applicable to any time somebody addresses those similar kinds of policy ideas. But I did make the book simple for the layperson. My intent was not to share it with other enrolled agents. It was to share it with regular Americans. And I did add some artwork, local artwork from Western Ave Studios in Lowell, and some cartoons as well, so you're not completely stressed over reading just taxes. And I tried to give some history and background on taxes so that there's no terminology that should surprise you. if I throw something out like AMT, I talk in there about what is the alternative minimum tax and who does it affect.
And who does it affect?
Well, it used to affect just the very wealthy, but Congress never indexed it for inflation. So it began to affect more and more middle-class Americans. And they finally, well, they would, every couple of years, they would index it for inflation, but it still kept creeping down. And when they finally did set an index for inflation, it was down to about $84,000. So it does affect middle-class Americans at this point, but usually only if you have a lot of itemized deductions. And its goal is kind of lost at this point because of the way the tax structure is. It'll really affect people with high itemized deductions and upper middle class, like in the $250,000 to $500,000 income range.
Awesome. Well, Beth, you are full of tax knowledge. I mean, I've learned so much today, and I'm looking forward to even reading your book in regards to taxes, because I honestly don't know anything about taxes, and I'm not afraid to say it. I'll be looking to contact you.
And isn't that sad? Two things that are inevitable are death and taxes, and we teach about neither. But we expect people to pay, and we penalize you for paying incorrectly. But we really do need to teach people.
If you got people like you that can. So if somebody wants to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
Well, they can reach me at my email, which is taxes@kozlog, KOZLOG.com. And I have a website, and I'm going to say I have a blog, but I will be honest with you, it's a little quiet during tax season because I'm a little busy. But you'll find some articles on there as well that might help you. And also on there, not only can you get a PDF of the book, but you can get a spreadsheet where you can take your tax return that you just did, put in your numbers, and see what each candidate would do to your taxes.
That is interesting. I love the email, too. Right to the point, taxes. All right, well, Beth, it was a pleasure having you on the show today. David, any last words?
I think we've covered it all.
Covered it all? Well, we'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs then.